gonna be all right. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio be all right. At 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Hallelujah. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this another wonderful opportunity to hear your word speak to our hearts. Tailor the text that we're teaching from, that every hearer's heart might hear what you have to say. And then God, reveal the principles that we might practice, receive the profit, and give you the praise. It was in Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Recorded are these words. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, that ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to talk about your ending will be better than your beginning. Your ending will be better than your beginning. That's good news for somebody. Somebody might say, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. You can stop right there, but I know the text don't, so keep going. Your ending will be better than your beginning. Who better qualified than Peter to share this word with us and to help us understand the trials of life, the situations that we must face and deal with as believers of the Most High God? Who better than Peter to shed light upon our struggles and our fight in the faith than one who walked with Jesus and had his share of failure? Who better than Peter, who misunderstood what the Lord was saying when he told him, you're going to deny me three times? He thought that it was a possibility that Jesus was wrong. He didn't know Jesus was telling him what he already knew, not what he thought. And so Peter deals with this text with us today, and I think it's very helpful for every believer to grasp hold of this word that's here before us. First of all, he says, beloved or beloved. He says, beloved, because it means those who are loved by God and are loved by the brethren. It's a term of endearment. It is a term that's used of those who are loved by the Lord. So he says, beloved, think it not strange. Now, I think right here we can spend a little time dealing with the fact that a whole lot of us have gone through, or are going through, or are getting ready to go through some stuff that seems like is strange. It's unusual. It's unfamiliar. It's not the norm. It's uncommon. It's not likely. It's beyond my ability to comprehend. In this text, he says, think it not strange. Now, one of the things that he's saying for us to not think strange is the fact that we've got to go through some stuff. Yes, sir. But it's not just any stuff, because he says, beloved, think it not strange, listen, concerning the fiery trial. The fiery trial. Tell your neighbor, fiery trial. Your fiery trial ain't your average trial. Your fiery trial isn't your happy-go-lucky trial. Your fiery trial isn't your usual trial. Your fiery trial is head and shoulders above your other trials. But listen at this. One of the things that you've got to know, and this is the reason Peter is saying don't think it's strange, is because even your fiery trial is to try you. Not kill you. Not take you out. Not destroy you. But to try. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Your fiery trial, that is to try you. Now, here's what you need to know, that the reason why what you're going through don't move other folk is because it ain't for them. You know, when you start telling people your pity party, they try to have sympathy. They say, well, brother, I'm going to pray with you and so forth. And it's like, wait, did you hear what I just said? Yeah, I heard what you said, but it don't touch me like it touch you, because it ain't for me, it's for It's for you. Listen, concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. 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 What you're going through is for you. Know that God has prearranged and allowed this situation to come. But I think I need to tell you this, that when the fiery trial comes, it means you have passed the other trials to get to the point of the fiery trial, and that's always before promotion time. So when you get to fiery trial, that means breakthrough is on the way, deliverance is on, blessings are on the way. You got to know that it ain't strange, because God has given you now the propensity and the capacity to do more and to become more and to try your character, that he has proven to the enemy that you are. Yes, sir. You see, the only way the enemy is going to believe that God is right about you is to prove it. And see, when you make it through your one trial after the next trial, and every trial gets a little harder and a little harder until it gets to the fiery trial. Listen, they don't come at the same time as other trials. Fiery trial. Those are set aside, and they are specific in your life. And so one of the things that I think will be helpful for you to determine whether or not you're dealing with a fiery trial is to know what to look for. First of all, to qualify as a fiery trial, you need to understand that a fiery trial looks harder than it is. It looks harder than it is. But what's interesting about it is, that likely it is harder than it looks. Some of y'all missed that. That went right over your head. I say it looks harder than it is, but likely it's harder than it looks. Help me, Peter. Peter, well, let me tell him. You remember when Jesus said, "You're going to deny me"? Peter was like, "Not me, Lord. I got this. Ain't nothing they can do to make me deny you. You saw something in me before I ever saw it in myself. I know who you are. You know who I am. There is no way I can deny you. I don't care what they put me through." See, Peter was talking in the flesh, not in faith. And see, the faith is a different level than the flesh. And folk will talk a whole lot of talk in the flesh that they're not prepared to back up in the faith. And Jesus tried to tell him, "Peter, you're talking flesh talk. You're not talking faith talk. I'm talking faith talk." And Peter was like, "Listen, though all the rest deny you, I will never do it." See, Peter didn't know that the test was likely harder than it looked. He just thought that he had this thing. How many times have you gone through something that you started off looking like you got this thing whipped? You can beat this. It ain't no big thing. It ain't but a piece of cake. You know, I'm cool. I got it. Hey, nothing to it but to do it. You know, all that good talk there, man, and you get bogged down in this trial and wonder, has hell been released on you and nobody else but you? And Peter was there at a fire. He wanted to get close to Jesus, but he could only get so close. And yet his closeness only permitted him to hang out with the haters of Jesus. And see, one of the problems with hanging out with haters is you're outnumbered. And so he was there around the fire, heating himself, listening to the conversation, and they were talking about the events of the day and the fact that Jesus Christ, that blasphemer, that deceiver had been taken and all the rest of these things. And they say, "You know him, don't you?" Be like, no, I don't know him. And then you know the story. He goes on to deny Jesus two more times. And then the cock crew. And Peter realized, wait a minute, I failed the test. I didn't pass this test, but I thought I would have passed it because it looked easy enough for me to do. But likely it's harder than it looks because you're talking about spiritual warfare. You don't see what the enemy has to work with. And in your mind, Think in your mind. When you think, you are usually thinking carnally minded. You're usually thinking fleshly minded. You're usually thinking natural minded and not spiritual minded. So you don't see the devil coming. And sometimes he's right in your face, sitting right next to you. Ease up to you because you're looking for him in a whole different way than which he has come. And so, my brothers and sisters, when Peter recognizes he fails the test, he goes out and he literally gives up. But the record is that Jesus, after dying on the cross, being put in a borrowed tomb, stayed there 3 days, got up, gave the call to tell my disciples, "Meet me in Galilee," and tell Peter also. Peter realized he was given another chance. But here's what I want you to know about a fiery test. The reason you passed the test is not because you passed the test, but because before the test, Jesus told Peter, "I prayed for you. And I've prayed not that you don't pass the test, but that your faith fails not. And here's proof that he was going to make it. He says, and when you are converted, strengthen your brother. In other words, when you come through, when you make it, when you get it together, then you strengthen the others who are going to have to go through the same thing that you are going through. Remember, a fiery test means that it looks harder than it is, easier than it is, and it looks, and likely it's harder than it looks. But you've got to understand that the only reason you pass it in the first place is because Jesus prayed for me. Tell somebody, thank God Jesus prayed for me. I don't care what fiery test you're going through right now. One of the things you can start rejoicing at right now is you're going to come through this thing regardless of how it looks, because Jesus has prayed for you. Ain't no sense of you getting bogged down and stuck in this situation, sad, mad, and all depressed behind where you are. Keep on moving, listen, and sooner or later you're coming out of this thing. But the second thing about a fiery test is not only does it look harder than it is, but second thing is it lives up to its reputation. A fiery trial. Come here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Help me preach this today. What do you want to know? What happened to you? Well, we declare that we're children of the Most High God. And there were some folk who did not believe in our God, did not share our conviction, but our lifestyle was of such that there was nothing they could do to find, to point the finger at us, to blame us, to bring us down, to defame us. But what they did was they got together and they said that they would put into law that no man would call on any other God other than their king. And they knew that we were righteous men that feared God only, that would obey God only. We couldn't get along with that, go along with that, surrender to that. So we did not bow when the music was played. So what happened? Well, because we didn't bow, and there were some others who knew we weren't going to bow, they were looking at us while they bowed. And we stayed true to our God. And because we stayed true to our God and we did love the king called us into a personal conference and said, listen, I know there must be some misunderstanding as to why you didn't bow, but let me make it clear to you that if you don't bow, you will be thrown into the furnace. And listen, this furnace had then been 7 times heated hotter than it originally was to put fear in the men. And they said, oh, king, live forever. We don't mean you no disrespect or no ill feelings, but God is our God. And we won't bow to another God. And we know our God is well able to deliver us, but if not, we still won't bow. They played the music, everybody bowed, those boys did not bow. So then they were ordered to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Now I'm bringing principles out because I want you to hear this. I know you know the story, but don't know you know the principles. These men that handcuffed and bound these men, the guards who bound and brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and threw them into the furnace, got burned up. But not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so, listen, because they did not get burned up and the men who threw them in, that was a sign right there to leave God's children alone. But you know, the devil don't stop till he's got enough. And they continued to allow, hoping that they would then burn up. But they didn't understand that when you are God's child, that God has a way of making it cool in the furnace. It may be hot and burning up all around you, but he will keep you cool. And listen at this, because what I want you to understand is you have got to learn, yes, you're going in the furnace if you go with the Lord, and yes, you're coming out of the furnace if you believe and trust in the Lord. But listen, while you are there, the Lord shows up, listen, only when the heat gets hot enough. The hotter the fire is, then the surer it is that the Lord will show up. The only reason why he don't show up in a whole lot of the things that you're going through is because it ain't hot enough for him. It's got to get really hot to call the Lord's attention to it. And this is what I love about it. When it gets too hot, he shows up and have fellowship with you. Right in the fiery, right when you're going through what you're going through. And so the joy of knowing this is knowing that, yes, you might have to go through the fiery furnace, but the Lord will meet you there and deliver you out of there. But listen to this. Before he let you go, there'll be a celebration. In the place where there was supposed to be devastation. Y'all don't hear me. The fire wasn't a place for them to have a celebration. No, not without Jesus. But with Jesus, you can turn hell into heaven. And to know wherever Jesus is, it's all right to be. It's clear with the Hebrew boys. Whatever your fiery trial is, invite Jesus in. Don't care how hot it is. As a matter of fact, the hotter it becomes, he will show up and deliver you, unbind you, release you, and then celebrate with you before he lets you go. King said, didn't I throw three men in? Behold, I see four. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. The last thing I want to tell you about a fiery trial is that it also lasts longer than you think. Job, can you help me with this? Yes. Job, everyone knows the story. Everything that Job went through in chapter 1 was more than enough to take most of us out. Everything that Job went through in chapter 1, most of us would not have made it to chapter 2. It would have ended in chapter 1. But I want you to see something. That because Job believed and trust God. From the news of the first messenger to the fourth, everything he owned, all of his children, everything had been destroyed. Job refused to curse God and or to charge God foolishly. So let me throw this out parenthetically to you. When you're going through a fiery trial, don't curse God. Don't talk to God like God has made a mistake. Don't talk to God as if God does not see the end from the beginning and knows how this thing is going to turn out. Trust God. He didn't curse God, nor did he charge God foolishly, which means to bring charges upon God that God didn't deserve. You may not know why God is allowing you to go through some of the things you're going through, but can I tell you, it's always a known fact that it's going to be one, for his glory, and two, for your good. So if it's going to be for his glory, that's good enough right there. Because I belong to God. And if I belong to God, then no matter what I go through, if he gets glory from it, that's enough. But the fact that he's going to bless me on top of getting the glory makes everything all right. Because it means in the end, I win. I'm not going through for nothing. What I'm going through is because God has bragged on me that I am who he says I am. But listen at this. You see, one of the things about a fiery trial is that it usually lasts longer than you think. Some things that you go through, you expect it to hit and it's over. And you deal with the rebuilding. You deal with the refocusing, the regrouping. But sometimes a fiery trial lasts longer than you could imagine it lasting. Almost to the point where all hope is gone. That you begin to question yourself, your faith, and almost even to the point where you question God. And I'm not talking about questioning him as in finding out information. I'm talking about questioning him as if to say he made a mistake. And so when it lasts long as Job's problems lasted 42 chapters later. Look at chapter 1. And when you look at chapter 1, you're like, should there be a chapter 2? What else is there? But then you recognize that the enemy starts sometimes from without and then works within. And he works around us and with people who are around us and then people who are connected to us and people who are kin to us and then folk who are close to us. And he just works, the enemy works in all of these arenas so that by the time he's done, his whole point is to annihilate you where there's nothing left to you. But 42 chapters later, the Bible says Job prayed for his friends. And I think the word uses that term lightly. Well, let me put it in perspective. Job was a friend to them. But they weren't friends to him. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been a friend to somebody who's not been a friend to you and they say, we are friends? Same situation with Jesus and Judas. Jesus was a friend of Judas, but Judas was not a friend of Jesus. But look at what the friend did. He prayed for him. And the only reason why God spared them is because he prayed for him. But when he prayed for them, look at what God did. He turned Job's situation around. It didn't say he prayed for himself. It said he prayed for his friends or his enemies or his so-called friends. And when he prayed for them, God turned his situation. I'm just trying to help somebody understand, if you really want God to work on your situation, pray for the ones that the enemy is working on. And God turned his situation that Job was blessed with twice as much in the end than he was in the beginning. Now, what does this say? That his ending was better than his beginning. Abraham's ending was better than his beginning. You know the story of Abraham, the father of faith. Moses had a very rough beginning, and though at one point in the beginning of his life, after the very, very initial rough beginning, he then began to live in the king's palace. So life was good for him. But can I tell you, his ending was still better than his beginning?